The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Black Enterprise Online Magazine and Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Meet the 78-year-old veteran Black Explorer who has traveled across more than 50 countries in 5 decades. Veteran and Black explorer J.R. Harris spent the last half century trekking across the world, visiting more than 50 countries, and is still hungry for more, and said the experience changed his life. I basically learned how to live outdoors, Harris said. The explorer spent his youth traveling the country in the 1950s. His dad was a long-distance train waiter, allowing his family to travel at reduced rates. Harris's first adventure alone didn't come until after he graduated in 1966, when he discovered the furthest north he could drive was Circle, Alaska. That led the explorer to pack up his car and set off on the journey, which took about 2 weeks. The scenic views made him realize that he wanted to be an explorer. Harris vowed to return home, get some trekking equipment, and spend as much time as possible exploring remote locations. Harris has traveled all over planet Earth in the years since, including France, Spain, New Zealand, the Rocky Mountains of Canada, the Andes, and the European Alps. Harris found the people living in remote areas fascinating. He said he learns as much as he can about their history, traditions, and way of life to figure out how to reach them and, in his words, just show up. People can't believe that somebody would come all the way from New York City alone for no other reason than because they were curious about their culture and wanted to see it firsthand, the explorer told CNN Travel. Harris, who has documented his travels on social media and wrote a book, makes it a point to take one long trip each year. He has traveled to all types of climates, including Greenland, Baffin Island in the Canadian Arctic, the Glacier National Park in Montana, California's Death Valley, and the Sahara Desert in Africa. The explorer says it's much easier to travel today than it was in the past years due to technology, adding that in the past, he traveled for weeks at a time by himself. But for most of my life in my career, I was going out before there was an internet, before there were satellite phones, and I'd be gone for weeks at a time with absolutely no way of contacting anybody. The next article is titled Power Play. Sandra Douglas Morgan means Raiders business. It's been a big year for Black women in sports. Though there's much work still to do, Black women are finally getting the recognition and opportunities they deserve on the court and in the front offices across multiple sports leagues. With the record-breaking $4.65 billion sale of the Denver Broncos last June, Melody Hobson, co-CEO of Ariel Investments and a member of the Broncos' new ownership group, became the first Black woman with an equity stake in an NFL team. And with Sandra Douglas Morgan as the Las Vegas Raiders' newest president, this season marks the first time in the National Football League's history that a Black woman has held a team's top leadership position. Morgan recognizes that with great power comes great responsibility. I'm hopeful my appointment will show traditionally underrepresented groups whether they be women, LGBTQ, people of color, veterans, or those with disabilities, that they, too, can have a presence at every level in the sports and entertainment industry, she says. Morgan has her work cut out for her. She is taking over a team that has endured turbulent times in its front office with two presidents and several longtime executives leaving the organization in less than a year, according to TheReporter.com. BleacherReport.com also alleges that women within the Raiders organization have described a pattern of harassment, unwanted demotions, and unequal treatment. But Morgan has a track record of coming in and handling things just as many black women have before her. Because, quite frankly, what would the world do without black women? This is a critical and defining moment in the history of the franchise, Morgan says. It is important to me, and it is my intention to guide this organization as we navigate the next decade here in our new home of Las Vegas. Her impressive resume includes 2 decades as a lawyer, and during that time, she has filled various high-profile roles in the city of Las Vegas, which is also her hometown. No stranger to breaking barriers, Morgan spent 8 years working for the city of North Las Vegas, becoming the first black city attorney in the state of Nevada during her tenure from 2013 to 2016. She was also the first person of color to serve as chair of the Nevada Gaming Control Board. Morgan has deep roots in Las Vegas, which makes her new role as president of the Raiders a full circle moment for her. She is committed to making a difference in the town that she says shaped her. At El Dorado High School, she held the titles of cheerleading captain and class president, putting her on an impressive path to becoming the leader that she is today. Each role I have held has allowed me to grow my skill set and to serve the Raiders, Morgan reflects. I've led and been a part of complex institutions, which helped me build a foundation for my leadership style. I have led institutions through some of the most difficult times in our state's history, when we closed our doors to 40 million visitors during the start of the pandemic, and then again when we welcomed them back. Not only is Morgan president of the Las Vegas Raiders, but she's also a wife and the mom of 2 teenagers. Her husband, Don, played with the Minnesota Vikings and the Arizona Cardinals from 1999 to 2002, making theirs an all-around football family. However, Morgan developed a passion for the sport long before jumping the broom. When I was growing up, football and other sports were always on in my house, and my love for the game has only increased in my adulthood, she says. Morgan is intentional about creating opportunities for women in sports who can follow in her footsteps. I welcome the chance to be a role model for all women who seek to start careers in the sports and gaming industry, she says. If my role can open doors, that is a win in my book. It is important to me to be able to make a meaningful contribution well beyond the Raiders family. In other words, as has been said of our nation's Vice President Kamala Harris, Morgan may be the first woman to step into the role of president of an NFL team, but she intends to do everything in her power to make sure that she most certainly will not be the last. The next article is titled Coping During the Holidays. Clinical psychologist Jacqueline Jones McKinney, PhD, offers suggestions on how to process seasonal depression in the midst of family gatherings. Affectionate get-togethers are traditional during any holiday season, but between fall and winter, these gatherings are based upon religious and other observances that center around family celebrations. While for many of us the occasions are joyous, for some folks a mental health struggle can become heightened during this time of year. Seasonal affective disorder, SAD, also known as seasonal depression, is a type of depression that is triggered by change of seasons beginning in the late fall, explains clinical psychologist Jacqueline Jones McKinney, PhD. Symptoms can include sadness, fatigue, loss of interest in daily activities or activities you once enjoyed, anxiety, trouble concentrating, feeling irritable or agitated, feeling heavy, sleeping excessively, weight gain and/or weight loss. Here, McKinney offers insight on the mental health challenges of the season and provides strategies on how to approach and manage them during this time. What triggers seasonal affective disorder? Research shows that symptoms could be attributed to changes in your biology caused by reduced sunlight in the fall and winter months, says McKinney. Less sunlight can result in fluctuations in brain chemicals like serotonin and melatonin, leading to you becoming moody, listless, sad, or disconnected from daily routines. McKinney points out that the seasonal decrease in serotonin is especially problematic, as this neurotransmitter helps to regulate feelings of happiness. What happens to our brains when there is limited sun? Serotonin levels get assistance from vitamin D, McKinney says. Since sunlight helps to produce vitamin D in our bodies, less sun can lead to a deficiency in the serotonin boosting vitamin, which in turn can cause our serotonin levels to drop and our mood to plummet. Complicating matters, a lack of sunlight can also increase melatonin levels in some individuals, leaving them more fatigued and tired during the end of the year holiday season. How to deal with symptoms of SAD during the festive season? The holidays can be busy and challenging for everyone. Add personal emotional upheaval to the mix and they can be even more overwhelming. Our daily functioning is often affected when we are depressed. Our brains are overloaded with thoughts of sadness, loneliness, and other negative feelings, which can then affect our attention, focus, and memory. However, McKinney says there are effective ways of coping with SAD during the holiday season. First, consider setting boundaries regarding attendance at events. Be aware of how you are feeling and know when to take time away to nurture yourself and regroup. You may also be grieving loved ones who are no longer there. Try making a plan to perform some act they used to perform around the holiday season to ensure those roles are filled and they will be remembered. Taking time out to honor old traditions while creating new ones, pitching in to help others, and developing healthy distractions could also be beneficial. Experiencing sadness during the holidays can be especially daunting, so try to surround yourself with positive people who are sensitive to what you're going through, and be intentional about engaging in self-care, including meditating, exercising regularly, eating healthy foods, and minimizing negative interaction with others. Best ways to treat SAD. An effective treatment for seasonal affective disorder is to schedule regular sessions with a good psychotherapist who can guide you through coping techniques such as cognitive behavioral therapy. Other helpful strategies include light therapy, spending time outdoors, eating a well-balanced diet, prioritizing movement, taking a vitamin D supplement, developing a strong social support system, managing your stress, and planning ahead to avoid emotional triggers. Consult your doctor, who may prescribe antidepressants if you need them. Avoid alcohol and try not to isolate yourself. Start mitigation efforts as early as possible, suggests McKinney. If you're suffering from SAD, engaging various treatment options can help you manage symptoms by teaching you the necessary coping skills. The next article is titled Girls Trip. Increasingly, Black women from all walks of life are considering using psilocybin or magic mushrooms as part of their healing and self-care journeys, and for a good reason. Festival-loving hippies, bro slackers, and more recently, trendy quote-unquote woo-woo white women come to mind when we think of people who partake of psychedelics. But before their adoption by the white counterculture, researchers say entheogens like mushrooms also had a place in the Black and brown indigenous communities, where they had been used for centuries to access elevated mental and spiritual states, but they were made illegal in 1968 when President Lyndon B. Johnson signed a bill outlawing them, ostensibly because of safety concerns, effectively halting all medical studies of psilocybin mushrooms as a treatment for trauma, depression, and addiction. This proved to be a major barrier for the Black community, says Monica Williams, PhD, a clinical psychologist who uses psychedelic medicine for the treatment of racial trauma and PTSD. They were many young Black people who were psychedelic enthusiasts in the 60s, 70s, she explains. But once it was criminalized, it became too risky for them to continue. Whereas for white people, it was a bit safer. Today, the stigma attached to these substances has lessened. Cities like Oakland and Seattle have decriminalized psychedelics, and new research is being funded. Clinical trials are underway nationwide, including some conducted by Williams that serves marginalized patients who have not had success with traditional therapies. The science shows this therapy's very safe and not addictive. But you really need to have a guide who's very experienced, who understands your culture and your historical trauma to have the most helpful experience, she says. That's why Williams hosts retreats with an emphasis on serving people of color, hearkening back to African traditions that were stripped from Black Americans as a result of colonialism. We haven't had access to a lot of these traditions for some time, Williams says. Meanwhile, white people have known that these therapies are helpful and have been using them. We deserve those same options. For some, the idea of a shroom trip is still unorthodox. Marijuana advocate Victoria Sanders, founder of Black Girls Smoke and Good Day Floor, who is known as Vic Styles online, was apprehensive when she had the opportunity to try them more than a decade ago. "I thought mushrooms was for weird white people," she says with a laugh. "I was like, what is that? Weed is the only thing I'm doing." That changed when she took her first trip, inspired by a friend who worked as an illustrator. She saw that he was a high-functioning, creative, thriving in his career, and he cited shrooms as one of the reasons why. "The first time I tried mushrooms, it was the most beautiful experience ever," she reflects. "I was in upstate New York. I was immersed in nature. Time really slowed down. I was able to notice the way that the grass felt, the way it moved. I was able to observe things in trees and ladybugs that I had never seen. Not that they had never been there, I just never been mindful enough to pay attention to them before." Since then, she's experimented with other psychedelics. She's learned more through her partner, Jason Paulino, founder of Intuitive Nature, a community for Black and Indigenous people of color whose goal is to center healing through mushrooms and other earth medicines. "There were traumas that made me feel like I couldn't believe in myself or love myself," Paulino recalls. "But the minute I opened those doors, I realized that the world was my oyster and I had so much to live for." The couple's use of psychedelics goes beyond themselves, with Sanders using her platform to change the way people view those who partake of marijuana and mushrooms. "You see someone like me and it's like, oh wait, I look up to her. Wait, she is successful. She does these things and she is competent. Maybe you can do mushrooms and still have everything else. I think I'm using my life as an example for that." Researchers say there are many studied benefits of psilocybin use: feelings of euphoria, a sense of connectedness, increased energy, and improved mood, to name a few. But as with any mind-altering substances, there are rules of the road. Hanifa Nayo Washington has had a relationship with psychedelics for over 20 years. As co-founder and chief of strategy for the psychedelic peer support line Fireside Project, she's logged countless hours helping Black people find their way to mushrooms in a safe, comfortable way. "Because of the war on drugs, because of the war on Black people, we've been scared out of this relationship," she says. "It's time for us to reclaim that. The psychedelic wellness it can offer is real, and it is for us." She emphasizes, however, that users must thoughtfully prepare for a trip and subsequent integration, the process of downloading the experience afterward. Fireside Project provides trained volunteers who can help with both and also serve as companions for people undergoing a psychedelic experience in real time. The reality is that during some psychedelic experiences, there will be emotionally challenging things that come up, she says. There can be disassociation that comes up, and that's normal. The Fireside Project line is there to support people who are in challenging times. So, is there such a thing as a bad trip? Washington suggests that what many labels as such is often a result of resistance or having rigid expectations of what should be happening. "I think that it's important to understand that psychedelics aren't for everybody, and not every psychedelic is for everybody. She notes carefully, there might be some that work really well with your body chemistry and the type of experience you want to have. And there are some psychedelics that may be the opposite of what you're seeking. Beyond Fireside Project, Washington believes that finding a community, whether it's a friend or a Black integration circle like One Village Healing or the Ancestor Project, is necessary. When it comes to safety, I cannot stress enough the importance of processing your experience with someone you trust. In your own way, she states, it's important to reflect on what it was like. What do you remember? What were some of the message downloads that came through? What was challenging? These can be wonderful learning experiences. The aftermath. The first time Nakisha Riley did mushrooms, she was in Brooklyn's Fort Greene Park at 4 a.m., hanging with friends after a party. It started off magically, she recalls. Birds were flying faster, trees were pulsating. As she got around more people, though, the feelings turned into paranoia. Her heart started racing. She didn't consider mushrooms again until years later, when her anxiety and depression came to a head. This time, she decided to be more intentional in her use. I started learning what to do on these trips, like journaling and making sure you are in a natural space, a clean space, she says. I have a playlist. I've learned that I like lemon tikking, which is a technique where you grind up the mushrooms and then you squeeze lemon on it and let it soak up the juices because it helps you digest it better. The result of her research and preparation was more integrated trip. When she does mushrooms these days, she feels more healed and less reactive. She doesn't get triggered as easily and has more expansive outlooks on the world around her. Being a Black person, a Black woman, in America, it's hard, Riley says. I think doing mushrooms helps me deal with that.
Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.